The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to return to a story that I'm sure many of you will be well aware of at this stage. It has gotten extensive coverage over the last 24 hours or so. 22-year-old Cathal Crotty given a suspended sentence for attacking Natasha O'Brien in 2022. He beat her unconscious, then went on to boast about the fact on social media. Natasha actually joined Andrea Gilligan on Lunchtime Live a little bit earlier today, giving her reaction to that sentencing.
I just remember walking out of that courtroom and I had so many emotions pumping through my body. I was just completely horrified, appalled. I couldn't believe the reason for the sentence that was given by Judge O'Donnell. It was truly, I feel it was quite ignorant to be telling a victim who actually took a stand, faced her attacker for the first time, that you are so lucky he took the guilty plea. That is paraphrasing, but that is exactly what was being said, that it was so important that this young promising male did not lose his career in the Irish Defence Forces. But in my victim statement, my victim impact statement, I had expressed very, very clearly that my mental health declined. I went on such a downward spiral mentally that I could not complete basic tasks, let alone show up to work, let alone I loved my job. It was amazing. And I ended up having to leave that job myself because I could not function. I couldn't do anything. And the Black Rabbits, they were so fantastic to me through it all. But yeah, no, it was just really, really, you know, to hear that this guy is being, they're trying to back this person to, you know, keep his life in order. What about me? You know, what about me?
That was Natasha O'Brien speaking to Andrea on Lunchtime Live a little bit earlier today. You can listen back to the entire interview. It's available as a podcast on the News Talk app. Kathleen Chadha is with me. She's from Save Sentencing and Victim Equality, that group. I'm going to speak to Kathleen in just a moment, but Dara Robinson as well, the solicitor and senior counsel. Dara, I think, you know, you'd be aware of a lot of the reaction to this sentencing today, and people confused as to how somebody, you know, guilty of a violent crime like that might receive such a paltry fine and a suspended sentence. I mean, from a legal point of view and from the point of view of somebody who understands the system and how it works, can you understand the rationale that leads to this sentence?
Yeah, I can. On the face of it, it seems like a lenient sentence. I suppose you start with the idea that people who commit violent assaults in public unprovoked should necessarily be jailed. But that isn't always the case. This young man was 22 years of age. By the sounds of what I read, he had no previous convictions. It was an offence that came out of the blue. He had what is known as an exemplary character, which is to say that he was in good employment. He never transgressed the law before. He pleaded guilty, which is extremely important. So there were many classic criminological reasons for not sending him to jail. And the judge took the view that in all of the circumstances, a jail sentence wasn't warranted. I mean, you can't jail everybody. That's the truth of it. And a jail sentence is the ultimate sanction of the state. It's necessarily ruinous of a person who has been making their way in society without transgressing. Loss of employment, loss of prospects, loss of just about everything, really. So the judge has to measure that issue against the punishment. And jail realistically is just a punishment. There's a modest element of rehabilitation goes on in the prisons. But realistically, lawyers don't think of jail as anything other than punishment. So the judge had to make a call, and the call that he made was not to imprison this young man.
When you go through those different considerations, the guilty plea, the lack of previous convictions, the character references given, do some carry more weight than others? I mean, is there a mathematical formula that's applied, or is it just kind of different judges weigh them up in different ways?
Well, there's not supposed to be too much difference in the way that judges approach sentence, but in reality there is. I mean, we would certainly know that certain judges are more lenient than others. Now, the DPP has an entitlement to review unduly lenient sentences to the Court of Appeal, and that's an option that's exercised pretty regularly. But sentencing is part science, part art, to be truthful. There are certain types of offending that will always attract prison sentences. Sexual crime, for example, it's exceptionally rare for somebody not to get a sentence in a prison sentence in a sexual crime. Assaults cover such an enormous spectrum. My initial reaction when I saw the facts of this case was that he did very well to avoid immediate jail. But Judge O'Donnell is a very, very experienced judge, and he is an awfully long way from a soft touch. The other problem, I suppose, that your listeners would probably need to be aware of is that nobody who's listening to this was in the courtroom. And there are things that go on in the courtroom that don't get reported, but that do make a difference.
We're kind of going beyond the specifics of this case, but maybe just give us examples of things just for people who've never stepped inside a courtroom in their life. What are the type of things that are said or argued or people learn in the courtroom that don't tend to get reported but might have an impact?
Well, the evidence in a case such as this is given by two sides. It's given, first of all, by the prosecution, secondly, by the defence. The prosecution case on a guilty plea is given by the prosecuting guard, and he gets to outline the facts and circumstances of the case, and then he gets to get cross-examined by the defence counsel. The defence counsel can elicit from the guard in cross-examination quite a lot of material that's helpful to the accused person, such as, for example, expressions of remorse that the accused has made, such as matters that pertain to the accused's personal circumstances. Does the accused, in this case, does the accused have a job? Does the accused have family responsibilities? Does he discharge those family responsibilities? What other things does the accused do in the course of his life that mitigate the ultimate punishment, being a prison sentence? So there's quite a lot goes on in the courtroom that you don't hear about in a short court report or in a short report on the newspaper.
Is one of the issues that a judge might consider the societal value in jailing people, in people being seen to be imprisoned by others in society, or is it absolutely judged on a kind of an individual basis?
Well, the court is constitutionally bound to take into account two aspects of any crime. One is the circumstances of the offence, and the other is the circumstances of the offender. That's why, for example, character references are so important, because you get stuff coming across in character references that you don't hear about in the course of the hearing of the case. I think the question you're asking me is, does the judge have to send a message? The whole idea of deterrence is absolutely central to the criminal justice process. I mean, deterrence is said to be one of the primary functions of the criminal justice process. And there'd be an argument to say that, you know, not jailing this young man has lessened that deterrent effect. The mere fact that he hasn't jailed this young man doesn't mean that half the young fellas in Limerick are going to go around beating up women tonight because they think they can get away with it. This is an exceptional case, in my opinion, and partly because I know who the judge is, and he's a very, very experienced judge, and I know for a fact that he's not a soft touch. I've known him well for 20 years. He's a very thorough, very careful, he's an excellent judge, in short. So he's had his reasons to do this, and the balance of his reasons has come down in favour of not sending this man to prison straight away.
One of the other, I guess, aspects of this case, and Natasha touched on it earlier as well, was the experience of the criminal justice system from the victim's point of view. Kathleen Chadha is with us. People will remember that Kathleen's sons, Owen and Rory, were killed 10 years ago. She's a member of SAVE, Sentencing and Victim Equality, the group. Kathleen, from your point of view, how kind or unkind is our system to victims of crime?
I think, very unkind, to be honest with you. And I think when you've got a victim that walks out of a courtroom and is effectively re-traumatized to over 2 years after the original assault on her, I think the justice system has failed. And I suppose I respect Dara's opinion on this, but I suppose I'm sitting here listening to him talk and going, please stop referring this to this man as a young man. It's giving him a level of respect I don't think he deserves. He's a perpetrator, he's an abuser, he's now a criminal. And I appreciate that this is very emotive, you know, but I think there is a message that has been sent. And while I totally agree, not every young man out in you know, and I use that word in inverted commas again, in Limerick is going to go out and assault or not assault or a woman tonight, or may assault a woman because he thinks he'll get away with it. I think it does send a message. And I know for us in SAVE, we talk a lot about, you know, needing to put the victim at the centre of the justice system. And in this particular case, if Natasha had been put at the centre of this, and if it was worked around her, I don't think we'd be sitting having this conversation.
And beyond kind of the sentencing or the severity of sentencing, Kathleen, how would you like to see the system change or reform so that victims are more central?
I think we need to actually, so, you know, I know your researcher, when I spoke to her earlier, we talked about the victim impact statement, you know, and that is hugely important. And I don't know Natasha, so, but I know having listened to her for the last couple of days, I think she may well agree. I think the victim impact statement is important. But I now question, and I'm sure she absolutely questions, whether it's actually effective or not. And it needs to be. I think there needs to be more understanding of the impact that any crime has on the victim. And that isn't, you know, when you've got a judge that says that she should be, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but basically she should be grateful for the fact that this guy pleaded guilty. You know, I know for myself, pleading guilty isn't there's no comfort in that for us as victims. I'm not comforted by the fact that my ex-husband pled guilty. I'm assuming Natasha is not comforted by the fact that, you know, Cathal Crotty pleaded guilty. And can I just add, he pleaded guilty after the evidence was sat in front of him and he couldn't refute it. He didn't plead guilty from the very start. You know, initially he tried to blame her. You know, but that little bit seems to be forgotten in this. So for the judge to say she should be thankful is an insult, because it isn't. And what happens when there is a guilty plea? And yes, it saves the courts and it saves the taxpayer, but it doesn't save the victim, because quite often the circumstances behind everything that went on here are not out in public. They're not part of the process. Yeah. They're not part of the discussion. And this, you know, again, I go back, this was an unprovoked attack by somebody she did not know. Yeah. She was simply going home at the end of her work shift. And, you know, she was defending somebody else. And a stranger had to come to her defense. Yeah. And, you know, could this have been so much worse? Quite possibly.
Kathleen Chadha from SAVE Sentencing and Victim Equality, Dara Robinson, Solicitor and Senior Counsel, thank you both very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.